Men ought always to pray, therefore it makes that song a very scriptural song. We always ought to pray and not to faint, to reach out to our God, the one who loves us more and far more than anything or anyone else, and has done more for us than anyone else has ever done or could do. He secured for us those that have repented of their sins and by faith trusted Christ as their Savior, an eternity that is worth looking forward to. Without that, everyone's looking forward to an eternity, but without Him, there's no eternity to really look forward to, because there's nothing to be desired in it eternally. Good to see everyone. Thankful again that we have this great privilege. I'd like to have you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, if you would. And then we'll turn to Psalms 119, 6 through 16. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the simple subject of where to find the answer. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now I ask, what is it that the word of God will not perfect, thoroughly furnish us unto? There is nothing. He said so. There's nothing that God's word will not perfectly, completely, thoroughly furnish us to any good work that we might undertake to do. Psalms 119, beginning of verse number 6, says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Why not? If they'll perfect, thoroughly furnish you unto all good works, you must have respect for them. "I will praise thee with uprightness in heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches." Why not? It'll make us perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, or any good work. What else do you need? It'll furnish you to where you can provide for yourself whatever that you might stand in need, or whatever you might face or come across. And by the way, it'll give you the grace to face it, and give you the faith to endure and go through it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Now, meditating on the word of God today is a difficult proposition, because we have stuff coming at us everywhere we're at, whatever we're doing. I can't even go into the bedroom and lay down and take a nap without some hot rod coming by, disturbing my sleep. Or if I sit down to study, some commotion going on somewhere. And I don't care if you go out in the country, it's still the same way. Listen, if you're going to meditate on the word of God, you don't need those interruptions and those disturbances. But how do you get away from them? Well, you close them out, ignore it, and concentrate on God's word. It's a little harder for us today because of the commotion we have, because all the people that we have in this world today. But listen, it is not impossible to do it. As a matter of fact, you should draw closer to him in this way, because you got to put forth more effort in order to do so. He said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I wish it were so. When you get old, you forget. But you never really lose it. You may not be able to recall it as you once did, but you never lose it. What you plant of God's word in your brain will remain there eternally and forevermore. And one day when he takes us out of here, we receive our glorified body, we're rid of this old nature and sin, then we'll be able to remember it all, plus learn even more that he'll have to show us. Come even greater. Man is always seeking answers. Lately, I've had a lot of people get a hold of me asking questions and wanting to know and understand. And that's a good thing, because that way we can tell them God's word, show them in God's word, show them what reality really is. Every problem in life has an answer if one will go to the right source in order to get that answer. The answer is not found in self. You can't reach within yourself and get answers to your questions and solutions to your problems. Very few answers can be found from others even. Circumstances yield very few probable answers. God has given a book full of answers. One must study it prayerfully, depending upon the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit to give full understanding. And those that are members of this New Testament church have an advantage over many others, because they don't have the Holy Spirit as comforter working with them and giving them understanding and revealing and opening up to them the truths of God's word. The Bible gives the answers on moral issues. Look at the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 16. It says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Now notice, the Lord is takes this seriously. We should also take it seriously. The consequences will be good if we take it seriously, but if we don't, they won't be. These 6 things that the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, haughtier than thou attitude. A lying tongue. And boy, we're living in a day where that every other word that comes out of most people's mouths are a lie. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Take advantage of the innocent, those that can't help and defend themselves. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. A liar and a sower of discord. A liar and bringing about gossip and contention in the church with this gossip that goes around. My son, keep thy father's commandment, Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We can know what's right and wrong by reading the Bible. Psalms 119 and verse number 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And then in Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Wisdom to discern right from wrong is given in prayer. Not much prayer goes up today. That's why there are so many people in this world that don't have any wisdom. They don't have real understanding and knowledge. But wisdom is gained by prayer, and understanding right from wrong takes wisdom. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ask God and he'll give you wisdom. Wisdom is following God. Wisdom is following his instructions. Wisdom is putting to use the knowledge that he permits us to gain and to glean, and understanding right from wrong. Let's look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Wisdom is not to do these things that we're going to consider, or to be involved in them, and to do as the Bible teaches us to do. Deuteronomy 22:5, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Notice that? We don't think anything about it because it's accepted in our society. It's accepted in the entire world. Just one of those things. What did he say? He says it's an abomination to God. He set forth a difference between men and women, and he expects us to maintain that difference. And yet today, for lack of wisdom, for a lack of understanding, for a rebellious, sinful approach and attitude to life that'll bring misery, don't think anything about it. Deuteronomy 21, verse number 18 and 19 says, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place." So, a rebellious child, take him to the city, and then the Bible goes on to say, then they stoned him to death. The parents did that. That's a terrible thing. How in the world could that be? Listen, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And the Bible makes it clear under the Old Testament law, the example that it set, It says, suffer not a witch to live. She doesn't deserve to live. Why? Because it takes away and deceives and takes away from the Lord Jesus Christ being accepted by many. It corrupts totally. Look at Leviticus. Second, 21st chapter and verse 5. They shall not make baldness upon their head. A lot of that today. Not naturally, though. What some of the sports people and stuff. All right, don't make baldness on her head. Neither shall they shave off the corner of their beards, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. Why? It's heathenism. And heathenism are those who have totally rejected God. Those that have totally gone away from God and shall not return. That's where it, why? Deuteronomy 14, 1 and 2 says, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Then, I believe it's Ephesians. No. Did I get to Leviticus 10:9? All right. Is it wrong to drink alcoholic beverages? Is it wrong to take drugs, legal or otherwise? Leviticus 10:9 says, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now, I have a hard time harmonizing this with wine for the Lord's Supper. Where was the table of showbread, the Lord's Supper? It was inside the sanctuary. And what he's saying here is don't take any of that in there. If you're not to take it in there lest you die, then you're not going to observe it with alcohol when you observe the Lord's Supper. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Don't be controlled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, what's wrong with drinking alcoholic beverages? It controls your mind. What's wrong with taking drugs? It controls your mind. And God doesn't want anything to control our minds except the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit can't control it if it's under control of the alcohol. That's how simple and how reasonable that it really is. Don't be controlled by that stuff. It'll enslave you. It'll take every bit of wealth, morality, and otherwise in your life away. As a kid growing up in Kentucky, that stuff was so free-flowing and so available that even the little kids would steal it from the where they had it hid out and take it to school. And little kids would be drinking and getting drunk. And I'm talking about little kids, I'm talking about grade schools. The grief and the headaches, the lives that I saw taken because of that junk. Nothing good about it. Nothing at all good about it. Yes, it is wrong to drink. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What? I've seen it make gentle, nice men get to drinking some, and the next thing you know, they want to fight everybody, beat everybody up, bust everything up, and turn into a wild person. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. I just add to that, they're just stupid. It's what it boils down to, in my opinion. Proverbs 23:31 says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, and when it moveth itself aright. Look not upon it even," he says, "when it is in process of fermenting." There's just something about that stuff that attracts you, and you've just got to have it. Hopefully not you, but many. Isaiah 28, verse 7 says, "But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment." First Thessalonians 5, verse number 22. First Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." And it definitely, in the description that we just went through, it appears evil. Is it wrong to dance? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with dancing? I don't know how many new converts I've had come to me and say, "Brother, I don't know about this. What's wrong with dancing?" Mark 6:17-28. "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not." I like him. I like John. He stood up for what was right, whatever the cost. That should be our motto as well. "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." She got up and danced in front of him, and it stirred his lust, the lust of the flesh, and he was willing to give her anything that she wanted. "And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. Cost John the Baptist his head. And he brought his head in a charger, gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. That's one thing that's wrong with the dance. Matter of fact, another thing that's wrong with it is Matthew, I believe it's the 25th chapter, or verse 5, or 5 and verse 25. Anyway, when a man looks upon a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. Envyings, murders, Galatians 5:21, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We should not do anything that would bring reproach upon the Lord. We worry about bringing reproach on ourselves. We worry about bringing reproach or being even embarrassed ourselves or on our family or our loved ones. Wait a minute. The big worry we ought to have is we don't bring reproach on the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter about us and how people look at us, as long as it's unjustly. But listen, it matters how that people look at the Lord because of our influence in the matter. We looked at tattoos. We looked at that piercings and these things of our modern day. I'll tell you what, brethren, men ought to be men. Quit ye like men. Be strong. The Spirit through Paul to the church at Corinth said, and men, you shouldn't be wearing women's apparel, and men, women, you shouldn't be wearing men's apparel, because God made a distinct difference between the two, and he expects to keep that difference. You wearing earrings? That's women's apparel. You wearing a necklace? That's women's apparel. Oh, it isn't either. Well, just because somebody in this latter day that we live in determined that it wasn't, doesn't mean it wasn't, because it was thousands of years before us. It was women's apparel. You don't need to be wearing bracelets. That's women's apparel. Now, you'll have to forgive my silk stockings, but I have them for medical purposes. And if you have to wear a bracelet or something around your neck for medical purposes, okay. But be sure that's what it's for. We don't need effeminate men, and God doesn't want that in our midst. First Corinthians 6:19-20 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Ladies, you shouldn't dress in order to catch the eye of men. Men, you shouldn't dress in order to do that with the women. Because he says, right here, God says, when you do that, you lust, you've committed adultery already. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. 1 Timothy 2:8-9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to repent. We need to get things right with the Lord. If you haven't been scripturally baptized, you need to be scripturally baptized. When you're scripturally baptized, you need to let the Lord add you to the church. And then you need to concentrate on living your life according to what we have looked through tonight. We have the answers for us on moral issues and decency and righteousness. We need just to continue to dig in the Word and go through and remind ourselves that we're not here for our pleasure, but we're here for His, to please Him. We're not here to lift ourselves up, but we're here to give Him honor and glory, to lift Him up. That some of these poor souls out here that are wretched and miserable and blind, that we might shine a little bit of light of the Word of God into that darkness and have some light come on and bring them out of that darkness into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and eternal life. We need to take it seriously, and we need to be in a hurry about it, because time is short. What's going on in this world today and in the Middle East? By the scripture, it's as it was in the days of Noah. It's as it was in the days of Lot. Time's running out. Because just a few little things coming together in this world here and this situation that's going on today could bring the time for Jesus to come. I've heard it all my life. I thought it was going to come before this or before that or before something else, and it hasn't. He hasn't come. Well, one of these days, and pretty soon, He's going to come, because there's been other things that the Bible has predicted, and it has come to pass, and even close to our lifetime. For example, the nation of Israel was scattered into all nations, and then they were gathered back to their promised land, not North Africa, but in the promised land where the world wanted them to be. And so then Israel became a nation. And she's not only a nation, but now she's a world power, a prominent one. All of these things, the Bible says they'd come about. They did. They come about. Jerusalem is going to be their capital once again. It is. It is. Well, we're real busy over here spreading the gospel, doing our thing, enjoying the good life. People over there, not so much. We need to realize we are not going to always be the exception to the rule. Jesus is coming soon. We need to prepare and get ready. The way you prepare and get ready for the coming of Jesus is to prepare, help others prepare and get ready for that coming. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. The Spirit of God has convicted your heart. Why don't you come? Repent of your sins by faith, trust Him as Savior. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you haven't followed Scripture baptism, you need to come and do so. If you're here, that sin separating you from God, robbing you of the joy of your salvation, you need to come, because He's willing to restore that joy if you're willing. What should we sing, brother? 200.